If we were a team, our bench would be deep, right? So we're on our second sermon of this 4 week Advent series exploring the four names of Christ from Isaiah 9:6. So last week we explored Christ as a wonderful, and we learned that word means miracle working. So Christ is our miracle working counselor. Hope that you were able to hear that or get that so that it all flows together. And today we'll explore a little bit about this, what it means that Christ is in this passage, in this prophecy, is called Mighty God. So let us pray. Father, we thank you that we stand in Christ alone, that we're dressed and faultless in Christ's righteousness alone, and that we can boldly come into the very, very presence of an almighty God who for thousands and thousands of years to do so would have been death, but now it's life, because we're covered, we're blanketed, we're robed in the royal robe of righteousness. You are indeed a mighty God. You are indeed a wonderful counselor. You are indeed everlasting Father. You are indeed the Prince of Peace. Lord, that's what we need. We desperately need in our lives and the lives of loved ones and neighbors and co-workers and friends and peers and colleagues. We need to experience Christ as that, as the wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, everlasting Father. So would you visit with us? As you already have been in worship, may you visit with us in the promises of your word and then in the power of your sacrament, that we might taste and see that the Lord indeed is good. Amen. So Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 7 is the foundational passage of this series. And so today, we read the whole thing last week. Today, we're just going to reread verse 6 of that passage. And it is the four names of Christ that were fulfilled in what we call Christmas. So, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government, praise God, shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And so in exploring Christ as Mighty God, our passage today is also from Isaiah 42. So please flip the pages there at Isaiah 42, the first 13 verses. Here's just a great thing. I mean, there's lots of great things, but here's one really, really great thing about this passage. It is just Father God just gushing over his son. It's just great. It's like, let me tell you about my son. He's just amazing. And he's just, and Father God just bragging about Jesus. So let's hear Father brag about Jesus. He says, behold, my servant on whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord Yahweh, Father God Most High, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it and gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, still speaking about his son, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Speaking of the return of Christ and his new earth kingdom. Behold, the former things have come to pass. New things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that fills it, the coastlands and their inhabitants. Let the desert and its cities lift up their voice. The village that Kedar inhabits, that the inhabitants of Shelah sing for joy. Let them shout from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord. Declare His praise in the coastlands. The Lord goes out like a mighty man, like a mighty man of war. He stirs up His zeal. He cries out. He shouts aloud. He shows Himself mighty against His foes. That's our Jesus. That's our Father. And the might of God and the power of God and the sovereignty of God all throughout human history, all throughout the Scriptures, it comes to us in what you can be said in a positive and in a negative sense. On the positive side, the might of God, Jesus Christ as our mighty God, is Christ and His Trinity displaying their awesome power through the awesomeness of creation and in rescuing His people all through the ages and in our lives from all manner of harm and captivity and sin and evil. But on the negative side, so to speak, Christ demonstrates His might, His power, His sovereignty through His righteous judgment that will remove all evil and evildoers and the evil kingdom of darkness from this earth so that we can have it as our eternal home. And so to understand our Lord, our God, our Father, our Christ, our mighty God more fully, we have to just live in this tension of God, Christ as mighty God. He demonstrates the fearsomeness of God's justice and the compassion of God's grace. So let's explore those two aspects of Christ as our mighty God. Two themes. Number one, Christ as a mighty God executes justice. Christ as a mighty God executes justice. There's this old folk song that says, everybody wants justice done to somebody else. And a major danger of how we celebrate Christmas is that we can foster these images of Christ as still being this cute little baby in the manger. Right? And now it's really important and it's wonderful and it's comforting to have an awareness of the humanity of Christ. And that's what we talked about last week. We want a Christ that came in a little baby because that means He's fully human. You can go to Him as a wonderful counselor and He can resonate with all that you go through. But to the degree that we keep Jesus as this helpless little infant, we trivialize the incarnation and therefore we disempower the understanding of Christ as a sovereign, holy, just, almighty God. We simply have to embrace those two tensions. Many have these wrong images of our God, especially in our country these days. And Father God is just this doting grandfather who indulges all your wants. And Jesus Christ is this docile little girly man who just gives out forgiveness to everybody no matter how you live your life. And the Holy Spirit is kind of this feminized presence of comfort. Friends, that is not our God. Thank God. Christ is a mighty God. And yes, Jesus Christ is a forgiving Savior. He is a tender shepherd to all those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Praise God, we want that kind of God. And Christ did come to the earth first as a baby and a tender shepherd. But as our Isaiah passage prophesies and promises, King Jesus doesn't return as a lamb, He returns as a lion. He returns as a mighty warrior to judge the living and the dead. So Isaiah 42:3, He's a mighty God who will in faithfulness bring forth justice. And Isaiah 42:13 says the Lord marches out like a mighty man. He's like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal and he shouts and he raises the battle cry and he triumphs over his enemies. Yes, that's the kind of king I want. That's the kind of king this world needs. We need Christ as a king. We need Him as a mighty God. We need Him as a conquering king. And for many, so you have some who see God as too weak, and then you have another camp that sees God as too strong. Look at the Old Testament. It's full of violence. kind of God is that? And so they reject or they minimize or they ignore the Christ as mighty God. Give me the shepherd, don't give me this mighty God stuff. And so their view doesn't balance. Doesn't balance God's justice and God's grace, God's love and God's holiness, God's wrath and God's patience. But here's the thing, right? If you're at all just alive and aware, if you allow yourself to feel the weight of the evils of our day, if you feel the weight of the horrific oppression of women through the ages, and it's still in our day. Women have always borne the brunt of evil in our world, and still do. If you bear the weight of children in Africa being forced into armies by first having to kill their own parents, if you bear the full weight of 27 million in sex and labor slavery in our day, most of whom are children under 13, if you bear the full weight of Christians being beheaded all around the world every day, if you bear the weight of millions of people, again, mostly children, dying every day simply because of a basic lack of nutrition and water and medicines, if you bear the weight of 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 7 men being sexually abused, If you bear the weight of just the atrocities of this world, then your heart, you cry out. You say, oh God, oh King Jesus, bring justice now. We want a God who brings justice. Only when we have a conquering king who brings justice will this world be free of all its evil. Will we have a place that we can live in a world that has no violence and no fear and no crime and no perversion and no oppression and no injustice and no disease and no broken relationships? The kingdom of God. And the wrath of God and the justice of God, it's only negatives if you're on the wrong side. But for those of us who have been embraced by God's grace, who've surrendered our lives to Jesus, we long, we work for, we pray for the justice of God. We pray for the day that in our passage tells us that God's praise will go out from the ends of the earth, from the coastlands and all their inhabitants. Don't you long for a world that's promised in Scripture when the whole earth is just saturated in the glory of God? And every single person alive gives praise to King Jesus? It can't come without justice. And tragically and fearfully and inexplicably, there are some who will look God right in the eye and reject his offer of grace. And so it's unimaginable. We don't even want to talk about it. That the justice of God has to include eventually some humans and some angels being sentenced to eternal judgment in whatever hell is. And yet, right now, we don't understand that. Our mind can't comprehend, our hearts can't grasp how that could possibly be wrapped up in a compassionate, just God. And we will understand that someday when we're in heaven, not even heaven, but the new earth, kingdom of God, and we're in our glorified bodies, and we're co-rulers with Jesus Christ. We'll understand, we'll have a heart and a mind that can understand that the wrath and justice of God had to include damnation for some. But for right now, it should break our heart. We should never be able to even use the word hell without a tear in our eyes. And it shouldn't create any kind of us versus them or judgmentalism or superiority. It should break our hearts and to pray and intercede for the lost and to share the gospel every possible chance we get. Because friends, hell is a reality. Because the justice of God has to be fulfilled. Christ is the mighty God who will one day triumph over all his enemies. But for those of us who are adopted children of God, number the second point, Christ as mighty God executes his power with compassion. Christ as mighty God executes his power with compassion. And friends, if you're here today and you have not fully surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you really should be quaking in fear. that today be the day, that this Christmas season be the day, this season when you know for certain that you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and King, Messiah, and Savior. And on the other hand, if you are certain of that, if you absolutely know for absolute, unquestionably, indubitably certain that you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you have responded to His grace, and you're an adopted, born-again, spirit-indwelt, beloved son or daughter of God, you never, ever, 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 ever have to fear the wrath of God. Christ is our mighty God, describes Himself in Matthew 11:28-30 like this. This is all that we said of the mighty God and the conquering King and the God of justice and wrath. Also is described like this in Matthew. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So what an amazing, incomprehensible breath we have to our Jesus. With one hand, He has to reach down and execute justice and take those who look Him right in the eye and say, no, I don't want your grace, and condemn them to eternal damnation. And with the other hand, He reaches out and wipes away the last tear from our eye and rescues us from all manner of sin and sorrow and struggle. That's our mighty. Our mighty God, Jesus Christ, is indeed bringing justice right now through us, His people, to remove all judgment, to remove all evil from this world. And someday the execution of justice tragically will have to require final judgment. But here's the gospel good news. That's not our gospel. The gospel good news, Jesus says, is that today is not the day of judgment. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of God's favor. So the message you preach, the message you and the gospel you live should never come off as judgment. It should come off as grace. It should go, the door is wide open. Come in while the door is open. Come to Christ, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and Christ will give you rest. Take His yoke upon you, for He is gentle and tender of heart. Isaiah prophecy in verses 6 and 7. Reveals that the present ministry of Christ is this. He says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. Listen to the tenderness of this passage from our mighty God. I will take you by the hand and keep you. And so I ask you, where do you need Jesus Christ, Father God, Holy Spirit, to take you by the hand today? His hand is never far away. His hand is always reaching out. And all you got to do is reach out and touch it. Oh, Lord, take me by the hand. Take my son, take my daughter, take my spouse, take my friends. Take him by the hand. Take her by the hand and keep her. Keep him. Passage also says that the ministry of Jesus Christ, our mighty God, is to open the eyes that are blind. So I ask you, where do you need today for Jesus Christ, the mighty God, to open your eyes? Maybe you're blind to some area of sin. Maybe you're blind to some way that your actions negatively impact others. Maybe you're just blind to the goodness of God. Maybe there's some doubt that God really is as good as He says He is. Or maybe you have a loved one or a coworker or a peer or a fellow student whose eyes are blind to the gospel. And the invitation, the prophecy of this day, the promises of this passage today is that this is what Jesus Christ does. He opens the eyes of the blind. And so don't settle for a weak, helpless baby Jesus. Call on the Jesus Christ of the mighty and God. Say, oh God, open my eyes because I'm blind. Open the eyes of my loved one because they're blind to the gospel. And I'll do it. Passage also says that Jesus Christ as mighty God and wonderful counselor, He brings out of prison those who are in the dungeon of darkness. So again, I just ask you, apply this passage, apply, claim these promises right now, today. Is there any area in your life where you need Jesus Christ to be the mighty deliverer and break you out of some dungeon? Do you have any area in your life where you feel like you're in bondage, or you're just stuck, or you're just tied up, or just this life-controlling habit or attitude that you just can't seem to break? This is the season when you call and say, "Oh, Jesus Christ, mighty God, you are the one who breaks people out of the dungeons and darkness. I ask you, I beg of you, I plead with you, I said, Lord, come into this area and bring freedom." And he'll do it. He'll do it on behalf of your loved ones or your friends. And then we have this wonderful, tender passage from verses 2 and 3 about Christ as our mighty God who does execute his power in tender compassion. Christ will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break. A faintly burning wick he will not quench. Bruised reed he will not break. A faintly burning wick he will not quench. Just put that in your imagination. And so in the time that Isaiah wrote, in the time that Christ ministered as well, the reeds were very important. They grew in the marshes, and they used them for writing tablets, and they used them for making baskets, and they used them even to build homes. However, when they're out there collecting the reeds, if a reed was bruised or broken, it was considered unusable, worthless, thrown aside, or used for firewood. And Jesus come along and say, do you feel like that? Do you feel like a bruised or broken reed? Because I don't cast you aside. I don't consider any reed unusable or worthless. So again, I ask you, is there some area in your life where you need Jesus Christ to come down and be this kind of healing, mighty God? Is there any area in your life where right now you're feeling worthless? You're feeling like you're just... forgotten, you're feeling neglected, you're feeling betrayed, you're feeling kind of left out. Jesus Christ says, a bruised reed I will not cast aside. And then he says, a faintly glowing wick I will not blow out. You know what that looks like, right? You blow out a candle, you have a fire dying, it's just this faintly burning ember. And some of you right now today, maybe your faith feels like that. Maybe your hope feels like that. Maybe your love feels like that. Maybe it's your love towards God. Maybe it's your love towards your spouse. Maybe it's your love towards your friend or your sister, or your brother, or your neighbor, or your uncle. Who knows? Maybe it's just your faith towards the things of God. Maybe it's some dream that you thought God had given you, and now it just seems to be dead. It's a faintly glowing ember, or maybe it feels like it's out completely. And Jesus is saying, this is the season. In this Advent season, I want to blow the Spirit of God fresh into your life. I want to blow upon whatever feels like it's a faintly burning ember, and I want to fan it into full flame. So we're going to have a time of prayer. We're going to go right and apply this passage in a prayer and sacrament. If you are feeling like a bruised reed, if you're feeling like you're in a dungeon of darkness and you need freedom, if you're feeling like there's something in your life that's a barely glowing ember, I am asking you to call out to Jesus Christ and claim the faith of and claim the truth and the promises of this passage, and let this season, let even this day be the day when the Spirit of God brings renewal and refreshment into that area. So I'm going to pray. I have a time of silent prayer, and I'm asking you to just lift up whatever prayers come on your heart in these areas that the Lord is offering his promise. Lord Jesus Christ, we call upon you right now as our mighty God. Lord, we know just in this room with 60 people, we're representing family lines and neighborhoods and businesses and schools, that we know comes right now. You can bring to our mind in our own life or in the lives of someone we know, someone who needs you to come down as mighty God. And so we take a moment now and we lift up our cry to you. Lord, we thank you that you are indeed the mighty God. He doesn't cast aside a bruised reed, doesn't blow out a very glowing ember of faith or hope or love. Doesn't leave us in any kind of dungeons, darkness. Thank you for today's freedom, healing, and renewal of faith and hope and love. May this ministry of Mighty God and wonderful Counselor, continue now through this sacrament. May you meet with us as we partake of these physical elements. May they be a supernatural encounter with the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. May the Holy Spirit bring us into Christ's presence and bring Christ's presence down to us, and may Christ be over and above and beyond and in these elements, so that we actually partake of Christ. That these elements that physically go into our body bring supernatural renewal of our faith and our hope and our love, bring freedom where we are in a dungeon, bring fan in the flame where there's only a barely glowing ember. Bring a awareness of your delight in us, where we feel like a bruised and broken and rejected reed. Would you do that, Lord, now in the sacrament, we pray. For your glory, for your kingdom purposes in us and through us. Amen.